Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Dan, bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Scott Arno is our guest. He is the security advocate. He is the vice president of Soho Solutions. Scott, what's your website, quickly?
TheSecurityAdvocate.com.
All right, so check that out. And we're talking about cybersecurity, that romantic notion, Scott. And recently, like last week, what may have been so far the biggest security breach of an organization that ever, but it was more notable in the kind of company and the kind of business that it was that got breached, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there have been numerically larger breaches. I think the biggest ever was Heartland Payment Systems a few years back, and obviously Target last year. What makes this so scary is this is a bank. This is a bank that in its annual statement
said
$250 million on security this year, and they still got in.
$250 million, J.P. Morgan, 66 million accounts, 8 million small businesses. Now, this is the... Well, I tell you, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but go ahead and tell us the rest of the story about the J.P. Morgan breach. What happened?
Well, in effect, hackers got in. It seems that the attack started in June. It was first discovered in July, and it actually took them a few weeks to lock it down. So it first was disclosed publicly in late August. Basically, what it came down to is they sort of wormed into the system. According to J.P. Morgan, they didn't get the super sensitive stuff like account details, credit card numbers, social security numbers, but all these accounts that were mentioned, they got names, corresponding addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, and the internal Chase bank data indicating what line of business that address and name was.
So they can spam them with, and the spammers are getting better at sending you things that sound attractive to you, that sound like the people you do business with. So they can they can align their spam with the industry that you're in, and you think, whoa, how'd they know that? This must be illegitimate.
Yeah, spam is almost the nicer end of it. I mean, it certainly can be these personalized, what are called phishing attacks or spear phishing attacks,
right,
which are literally saying, like, hi, Jim Blasingame. Would you like to try this? And it will mention your home address and other things that are detailed because that's what they got in the breach.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be fake phone calls where someone's charming and knows a lot of information about you. And any of this information stolen can also be used in conjunction with basically stolen password lists, which are available online to the bad guys. And if you have, say, a password with J.P. Morgan and you use that password someplace else, a process known as daisy chaining, if they break that password, any account that has that password can be broken as well because it's got the same thing, and it's not hard to check.
$250 million a year on security, and they still got breached.
Well, that's part of the question here. You know, it becomes an issue of, well, were they really looking to break in to get the information given that they went over stuff that was, so to speak, not as high risk? It then becomes a question of, well, maybe what they were doing was showing people that they could do it because these attacks are thought to originate from Russia, and if the idea here is, by the way, you can send all your sanctions you want, we can hit you where it hurts. Because it wasn't just J.P. Morgan. There were nine other financial institutions.
Oh, really?
They haven't been disclosed yet, so we don't know which one.
I didn't know that.
It should come out in SEC filings.
Are those numbers for those institutions on top of the $66 million? Or was that just J.P. Morgan? I mean, is that J.P. Morgan's number?
No, that's on top of the J.P. Morgan.
So the other six or so that we don't know about, they'll have numbers on top of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Are those others banks?
We don't know. We know they're financial institutions. They could be banks. They could be brokerage houses.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're not small.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Hi, I'm here to scare you this morning. Hi,
yeah, no kidding. No, you're just reporting what's going on. I mean, this is amazing. Scott, I mean, Are we defenseless? Are we completely in just defenseless against these people?
Well, I wouldn't say completely defenseless, but at the end of the day, it's a lot harder to lock a system down than it is to break into a system.
Yeah.
And, of course, by nature, another end of the problem here is that we keep hearing about these again and again and again, and people are human. You get numb to it after a while. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know, pass the fries, they break
well, themselves. You know, the thing is, this comes back to something I've been talking about since 9/11, and that is, since 9/11, and that is, it's that evil is easier to leverage than good.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Exactly.
And so you talked about it's harder to hold on to names and addresses and information than it is to. That is to go and breach it and to get it out, and it's sad. But is this? Do you see an cyber existential threat, an existential threat to the cyber world, to our online world from all of this? What do you think?
I don't know if I'd quite say existential, but part of the issue you run into here is that people focus on stuff they can do. How fast can it get my information? What are all the different features? Not necessarily how it's secured. And part of it is just that's where our mindset is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a recent very popular app is something called Snapchat,
right,
which is very popular with the kids. And in fact, it lets you send a message, which disappears a few seconds after you send it. You can say, I think it's 1 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's one little problem with this. It doesn't actually work.
Uh-huh.
It's really, really easy to circumvent. But people look at the feature, and it sounds cool.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad for the creators of Snapchat. I'm glad that they got their money. You know, what was it, Facebook bought them, I think.
They're doing pretty well.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. I'm going to get Scott to help us deal with this ourselves.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.